Okay. All right. And, you know, who experienced the presence of God this morning in the service? I was just like, it was just such a love, peace, you know, and that's His Spirit. That's His Holy Spirit. That's just, you know, just being let out into the atmosphere from each one of us. And I'm probably going to get way ahead of what I have. I'll try to stay in line. But and I want each one of us today is just to become more aware of Him and to know who He is in our lives and His purpose, and that we embrace Him and that we embrace the fullness of Him. So the Holy Spirit is the power of the new covenant because He makes real to us the present and the future provisions of our salvation to Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. So at the moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit took your spirit, which had been dead in trespasses of sin, and He raised it to a new life. He recreated it. You're a new creation. And His work inside you was so glorious that when it was all finished, He declared you to be His own workmanship. You are now a new creation. That old person is gone, no more. You're a new creation. Ephesians 2:10, we have become His poetry. I love this version. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. I love that part, that we're recreated people and we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. How are we joined to Jesus, the Anointed One? Through His Spirit. His Spirit came into us, recreated us, came into us, and sealed us for salvation, and has joined us with Jesus. Just, if you just take that little piece and just meditate on that throughout the week, that it'll start to give you your new identity of who you are in Christ. Just think about that and meditate about that, and it'll just change your way of thinking and the way you react to things. And it's just that we are joined to Jesus. We are joined to Jesus. His Spirit is in us, and we are joined to Jesus. Wow. Okay. At that moment, your spirit became a marvelous dwelling place for the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. This verse is directed to the individual Christian's body. So this verse is directed to each one of us personally. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So each one of us, our body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. And He was given to us by God. You know, you have to know how special He was, that, you know, it was a gift that God had for us way before and kept promising that it was going to come. And Jesus even said, you know, before He ascended into heaven, He was like, I have to go so I can give you the gift, you know, and that gift is the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, this verse is directed to the local church body. So it would be like, this verse would be for Acts. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives among you? So as each one of us carry His Holy Spirit and we're gathered together in corporate worship, it's like we have more of the Spirit, because as we're worshiping and even as we're sitting here listening to the message, the Holy Spirit is just coming out of us, and it's just embracing all of us in this room. Then the third verse is Ephesians 2:20-23. That scripture is directed to the universal church body. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. So as a universal church, of a body of believers, you know, that's why so many times that even Pastor John has a message and may not realize it. When you're listening to someone else online, they're speaking that same message. Because the Spirit is speaking to the body of Christ all over the world, corporately and brings us together as one body. This holy, precious gift from the Father is to be received, loved, honored, and cherished. And today, I just want our awareness and us, our desire of the Holy Spirit just to explode in us, and that we just embrace Him. A lot of believers today, they just, you know, think that it isn't necessary for the Holy Spirit in their lives. You know, they're aware of the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, you know. But they may not realize how to embrace Him. They may be nervous about it, you know. They don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, if you want to know who the Holy Spirit is, just look, read what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's Him. You know, you'll know Him by fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, that's Him, you know. And He's a safe place. And He's not an it. He's not a genie in a bottle that we just conjure up when we need something or we have to work up or whatever. He is a part of the living God that dwells within us. And it's necessary. His presence and power is necessary in our lives. I mean, obviously the Father thought so because He sent Him to us, you know, and because that we're not maybe pursuing Him or we don't have the knowledge of Him, we let the world or religion or people, we see people in their flesh define who He is, and letting each ourselves go to the Word of God and commune with Him and let Him reveal Himself to us. So. So I was looking for, like, you know, a main scripture that I would have, because I have like all these scriptures, but, you know, a main point. And I just kept thinking, okay, it's First Thessalonians. It's in First Thessalonians. So I was in there and I was reading it, and this scripture just jumped out at me. So this is where we're going to start. And this is just is First Thessalonians 5:19, which was, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." In some versions it says, "Do not quench." I know a lot of people think that they're talking about that as in a body. Like if we're letting the Holy Spirit move in a service, like don't stop, you know, whatever He's doing, let Him do. But today we are looking at that verse for each one of our impersonal lives, that we do not stifle or quench the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. When I looked up the definition of the word stifle, it was interesting because one of the definitions said to cut off. And then in parentheses, it said, as the voice or breath. I thought, the voice or the breath of the Lord stifled to cut off. And in my Bible, it had, that verse was linked to Ephesians 4:30, which says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit of God has seated you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation, which is when Jesus comes back. But so never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Even in the Old Testament, it talked about in Isaiah that He talked about the Israelites and it said, but they rebelled against Him and grieved His Holy Spirit. So when we rebel against the Lord, we are grieving His Spirit. And when we think of rebelling against the Lord, a lot of times we think it's we're doing something really immoral or, you know, that we know that's wrong or whatever. But, you know, I'm learning, thank God for grace, that rebellion, too, is just not being obedient. When you have that little voice telling you you should or shouldn't do something, and then you go and do it anyway, you know, you're rebelling. And that's grieving the Spirit of God that is within you. And yeah. Ephesians 1:13-14. "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him." Another translation reads, "And you who are not Jewish also heard the revelation of truth, the wonderful news of salvation, and through him faith rose up in your hearts to also believe in Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit has stamped and sealed every one of us, guaranteeing the rights of our covenant. The Holy Spirit is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our promise of hope of a future inheritance for all who have been made alive in Christ. This hope promise seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. So he's just a deposit. And like we even sang this morning, a seal set upon us. Or that engagement ring, looking forward to that, the marriage. It's just, you know, and knowing that we're going to be with the Lord for eternity, why won't we want to start getting to know him now? Start allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the things that are to come. Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. He's present from the beginning. Genesis 1:2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now that hovering is not just like standing in one place, but it's more of a sweeping or a moving rather than stationary. So I just get this picture of, you know, I try to put in my mind when I read something and I'm meditating on it, like what the picture of it is, what it looks like. And so I just like get this picture of like this nothingness there. And then the Holy Spirit is just moving back and forth. And he's just waiting for the word from God to be spoken. And he's like the executive arm of the Trinity. Like he's waiting there. And when God spoke the words, let it be. That creation was formed by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord came upon many in the Old Testament with power, prophecy, and guidance. You can read all through the Old Testament about how the Spirit of the Lord came upon different ones for their circumstances and situations. Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is Gabriel speaking to Mary, telling her that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and the power of the Most High. Okay, this is what I was thinking about when I was thinking about this verse. The power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, he took Jesus, the Son of God, and placed him in Mary's womb as a seed. And I think about that same Spirit is in each one of us. That is just blows my mind. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that took that barrenness in many wombs and brought forth life throughout the Old Testament. Elizabeth is another example. Gabriel told Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit before his birth. He was like the exception. You're filled with the Holy Spirit before you've been born, according to how everything else the Holy Spirit comes on other people. But she even felt that quickening when Mary showed up with Jesus in her womb, you know, that Spirit, that presence. It's that presence of God. The eruptive, explosive power of the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. So that same power lives in us and wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, thought about this, a volcano. And, you know, a volcano is just sitting out there, and it has all this power in it. And there's certain circumstances and things that needs to happen in it for whether it erupts or not. And I don't know, plates shifting and friction and what all that stuff. But that's like us, each one of us. We have this explosive power that is just sitting in us. And it is up to us what we do with that. Like Pastor John said before, he's not going to force himself on you, on any of us. He's waiting for us to ask him for more. Scripture in James 4:5. This is out of the King James Version. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The Holy Spirit yearns for each one of you. And that word lust, it is defined, the picture of that is like something that you want so badly that you can't get it off your mind or let it go. You're just thinking about it constantly. You just want it, you want it, you want it. You know, you do anything to get it on the positive. On the negative side of that lust is like, picture is like a drug addict or an alcoholic body that has decided to go off the chemicals and their body starts to yearn for that fix. They're craving that. They need that. That's substantial. We need that. That is the Greek word, example of the Greek word used for that word lust in that verse. So this scripture reveals that the intense yearning the Holy Spirit possesses to have us entirely for himself. He is our indweller, our sealer, our sanctifier, and our source of power. His attention, his gifts, his power, and his word are all directed toward us. He is in love with us, and he yearns to fulfill his responsibility to the Father to help teach, guide, and empower us. The Holy Spirit desires to possess all of you, but it's your decision whether you allow him to do. One of the things that I really think too, that out of that scripture, that yearning that he has to have us, you know, is because of love, but he was sent here by the Father to accomplish something. And he has a responsibility, and he wants to see us all. He wants to see us all fulfill whatever the Lord has for us, fulfill our fullness in him. And he is there to bring us to that point. And so he yearns. He's like, oh, he can't get enough. And there's so many times that we just try to do everything in our own power, and me included. And sometimes I don't even think, like, I think of it as a last resort to ask for help from him, you know? I so appreciated in our marriage conference we had that he brought up, Jimmy Evans brought up, he just said, you know, every morning I get up and I say, you know what, fill me up. I'm Holy Spirit. Fill me up this day to do what I need to do. You know, and if we just get in the habit of that daily, you know, fill me up with your spirit. And it's not because we're trying to achieve a higher level of the spirit or like a more powerful level of the spirit, or, you know, because I believe that that deposit is the same. I believe that those kids over in that class have the same Holy Spirit we have. They don't have a junior Holy Spirit, but it's just a matter of maturity of us, how much we want him. And it's also a matter of our faith, because just like we receive salvation by faith, we receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And the more faith we have and believe, and the more that we desire him, the more we're going to become aware of him, the more he's going to be able to reveal himself, reveal Jesus, reveal the Father to us, the more that we're going to be able to hear him speaking to us, telling us what the Father's saying to do, what not to do. The more we're in tune to our real world, not, you know, this isn't the real world that we live in. You know, we can't really see the real world that we belong to, but he doesn't want us to wait until Jesus comes back to tap into that, you know. He wants us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he's speaking to the Father and Jesus and revealing to us what they're saying, he wants us to live in that world right now. And I know we can't live there to the fullest that we'll be when Jesus comes back. But you know what? There's no reason why not to try to get as much, live there as much as possible. You know, we have a perfect example in the Bible of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life, and that's Jesus. Jesus's earthly ministry, he and the Holy Spirit always worked together. It was him and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, like I said earlier, Luke 1:35. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:16. He was led by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Jesus healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38. Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. Jesus was resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. Jesus was seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms through the power of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. So every time we see Jesus in the Gospels, he is working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. We know that when Jesus came to earth, he laid down his deity. He was still God, but he laid down his deity. He was born as the Son of Man. When he was baptized, when John baptized him, the Holy Spirit descended upon him before he went out into the wilderness. And everything he did from then on was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he came to be like a forerunner and to show us a glimpse of the things that we would do. Jesus said he could do nothing by himself, that he could only do what he sees the Father doing. So he gave that same power to the disciples before he sent them out to minister. He said to them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And what happened when they went out then? They seen demons cast out. They seen people healed. They shared the glory of God. And that was even before Pentecost. John 14, 16, 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." So Jesus was telling them that he lives with you now because the Holy Spirit was on Jesus. And he told them later that he will be in you. Luke 24, 49, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Acts 1, 4 to 5, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' In Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, I do believe that I think we need the Holy Spirit also. We can choose to do it in our own power. And we can maybe get so far with doing it that way, but it's going to be harder. It's going to take longer. And it may not even be the best route. And especially in the times that we're living, when all this persecution's going on everywhere, we need that supernatural power to be operating in our lives. What was the result of the Holy Spirit power in their lives? Well, you know, just read the book of Acts. What's the result of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives? The same as the disciples. You know, his purpose isn't just to make us all goosebumpy and, you know, I mean, but it's to guide us. It's to help us. He knows what each one of us needs at each particular time in our life. And he ministered that to us. That's why in a service sometimes, if you really experience the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that, you know, someone can be sitting there crying, and someone could be sitting there smiling, or someone could just be sitting there so peaceful, because the Holy Spirit is ministering to each person individually in the body what they need at that time. He knows. And we're to continue to be more like Jesus. And he will reveal Jesus to us. He will reveal the Father and the Son to us through the Word. We'll be able to read the Word and we'll have more revelation. We'll have things will jump out at us, you know, and we'll think about that, and he'll bring pictures or he'll bring things to mind You know, and one of the, you know, example was this morning, you know, when they were singing and just started this spontaneous worship. That wasn't like scripted. We didn't know those words were coming forth. But that was because of the presence of the Lord was here. The Holy Spirit was here. And he was putting words in their minds, like words that to glorify the Lord. And they just started singing them out. That was the Holy Spirit speaking. And that's what he does for each one of us. That's why I said sometimes it's, you know, we try to rush the Lord, but sometimes if we just sit and we wait and we listen, you know, and as he speaks to us, sometimes we need to speak it out. We need to speak it out into the atmosphere because that changes things. But he's always there. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to hear him. And the more that we are determined to just quietly listen to his voice and to trust him, the more easier it'll be to hear his voice, to know when he's speaking or not. But when we totally just keep thinking that we're doing things in our own way, in our own power, and, you know, not asking for help, and our ears are getting dull to him. He's still there because he's not leaving. But you're not going to be able to hear him. You're not going to be able to hear him maybe if he tells you, you know, don't drive down this route because there's a wreck today. I want you to go this way. Don't, you know, send this paper with your kids to school. Whatever it is. He's wants to be that involved into the minute details of our everyday life. But like I said before, that, you know, we have to ask him. We have to invite him. We have to invite him into that, and we have to humbly lay down on our own will and say, you know what? Have your way in me. His seal we received at salvation is enough. We have to ask for more of him, and we continue to grow and mature spiritually. There is more of him to be sought out. We need the fullness of his spirit daily in our lives. Luke 11:13, if imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? And, you know, and I'm thinking, if it's that important to the Father that he had this special gift for us, and he talked about it before, even in the Old Testament, about his Spirit being poured out, that it needs to be important to us. And we need to quit letting the world or other people's fleshly reactions or whatever it is dictate to us on who he is. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be filled. There's so many times in the New Testament that it talks about be filled, be filled, be filled. You know, Stephen, right before, it said he went out and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and when he went out and he preached the gospel and he seen people healed. And, you know, and right before they persecuted him and killed him, he was full of the Holy Spirit, you know. I mean, it talks about being full. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. The tense of the Greek for that word, be filled, makes clear that such a spirit-filled condition does not stop with a single experience, but is maintained by continually being filled as commanded here. Like I said, there are many other references to that. So the Holy Spirit wants to become your partner. He also wants to assume great responsibility for you. If you want, he'll stand by and watch you try to do it alone. But if you'll open yourself up to the Spirit of God, he will assume a more active role in your life. The one you are dependent on is the one who causes everything to change. Your town, your city, your region, your family, your children, your life, your in-laws, your job, and your circumstances. He causes everything to change. He is the Spirit of God. And, you know, it talks about we're to be living epistles. And what better way for the world to really know who the Lord is, that we become the living epistles, because he is transforming us by the word of God. And as we're reading this and we're becoming more like Christ in things that we do, that people that out in the world who don't even want to own a Bible or ought to be able to look at our lives. And we are the living epistles. That's what the word says. You know, but we can't do that in our own power. We need the Spirit of God. So we have a closing song that we're going to sing, and you know what? I just want us all just to, you know, if you want him to be more in your life, embrace him. You just ask, Holy Spirit, fill me up. You know, here I am. Just take all of me. And you can, you know, you don't have to come up front to do that. You can come in the back, stand in the back, sit in the seat, wherever. You know, it's you and God. But if you would like any other prayer for anything else, you're welcome to come to the altar. I'm just going to read this at the ending after we sang, but I can't really see real well unless there's good lighting. So I'll read it now. It's 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. And this is Paul's final readings to the Church of Corinth. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that is my prayer for each one of us today, that we receive the grace of God, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And, you know, what a better way to grow deeper into the Lord than by his presence, that power that's within us.